please. Dear holy and righteous Father, how great thou art. How great is thy name in all the earth. We come here today to thank you for all your many blessings that you have bestowed upon us from our early existence down to this present moment in time. Thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, who suffered and died on the cross so that we may have a right and a title to the tree of life. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for the ones who have come out willingly tonight, study another portion of your holy and divine word and fellowship in Christian love. Thank you for the speaker that's about to come before us, Scott Sandusky. We pray that you'll bless him and give him a ready mind to recollect on the things that he has studied. And dear Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the Gomez family that have traveled back safely. We pray that you will be with them and wrap your loving arms around them and let them know that you are God. And dear Heavenly Father, we pray for the sick and the shut in. We pray that you'll restore them back their most wanted needed health. If not, that will be done. And Heavenly Father, we pray that you will be with us through the further exercise of this service. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Let's sing some songs. What we're also going to do is kind of walk through Psalm 107. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say this. Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. There they were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men, for he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Psalm 107 walks through several examples of how the Lord has delivered people in different situations. Our first song is Each Step I Take.
Thank you.
some sat in darkness and the deepest gloom, prisoners suffering in iron chains, for they had rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. So he had subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled, and there was no one to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the deepest gloom and broke away their chains. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men, for he breaks down gates of bronze and cuts through bars of iron. A little newer song, Lord, let your light of your face shine on us. To the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent word from them. He sent forth his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. Only in thee. Up to the heavens and then went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and they staggered like drunken men. They were at their wits' end. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. After we sing this song, we'll have our scripture reading for Hebrews 3, and then Scott will give us the lesson.
My soul and from, yes, I will be reading from Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. The love of the brethren continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality for strangers. For by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember the prisoners as though in prison with them, and those who are ill-treated, since you are yourselves are also in the body.
No discipline seems pleasant. At the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. That's a passage from Hebrews chapter 12, in verses 11 through 13. That just strikes a chord with someone like myself and others. I'm not the only person in this group who has overcome or is fighting some challenge. Maybe mine is more recent. And don't think I'm going to stand up the whole time I give this lesson either. I'll be moving around in my chair here shortly. But I want you to think about that passage. No matter how big or how small it is that you have in your life, it's no different than mine. Mine may be different. Maybe it seems more tragic and more immediate or whatever, but you and I need to let the things that God brings to us train us and discipline us. And yeah, it's painful at times. You know that. The things that you go through, the things that I have been through maybe more recently, they're painful. And in my case, it was physically painful. You may have emotional pain. You may have spiritual challenges. Whatever those things are, you think about that passage in Hebrews chapter 12. What's going to happen later on, the writer says. It's not right now. And sometimes in the moment, we put our heads down. Or in the moment, people will turn their backs on God. When he is in the middle of doing his training of his people, we turn our backs on him. Why do we do that? It's because we're not willing to be patient with God and see what it is he wants to do in our lives through those challenges. You don't know how good it feels to grab this thing right here. Things that build my confidence is doing things that I thought were never going to happen again in my life. And as we go through this lesson, I will hopefully continue to give my thanks to you. And I won't try to do that all at once now, but hopefully as we progress, you will see my appreciation. But I love my father. And I'm going to talk about different people in my family, but he didn't give me any time off. And the first, I don't know, maybe second or third day that I was conscious, and I've typed out a lot more words in my notes than I ever do because I'm afraid I'm going to have tears running down my face and choking through some of this stuff. But I don't know. I feel like it was the first time I came conscious. Maybe it wasn't. I know the first time I came conscious, I saw my lovely wife at my feet. And my brother Matt. And I just looked around and saw my family. And we'll talk about that. And a little bit about why those people are outside of my request to God. But anyway, my father doing his job and putting me to work. He said, Scott, he says, we preach in generalities, but we live in the details. He said, when you preach these lessons, he says, you've been preaching them for years. He says, and you've been telling people to keep their faith in God. You've been telling people to stay with it and don't lose faith and all these things. He says, that's a generality that you're saying. You're giving general statements. He says, now you get the chance to live the details of that message. And he told me, he said, Scott, you're going to have doors of opportunity open to you that maybe never would have been open to you prior to this incident. And I kind of got that warm and cozy feeling inside of, yeah, you know, this is cool. I'm going to have some doors of opportunity. And being the spiritual man that he is, he put his hand on my shoulder. He said, Scott, don't shirk the responsibility. And I got nervous. And as we talked, I started to get excited. You're no different than me. You have things that have come your way and challenges that have happened and doors that have been opened to you through your life. You have the same challenge issue. Maybe it's not from my father. Maybe it's not in those words, but don't we have responsibility to do God's will? Don't we have that responsibility when we're trained by God? I mean, we're strengthened by God to do something with what he has given to us through that training. We've got to do that. And it's not just for me, even though that challenge was given to me personally from my father. We can't shirk those responsibilities. So what happened and why I titled this, Let Me See My Family? Most people here probably know. If you don't know, I was in a tragic accident on August the 14th, and I was trapped between a truck and a trailer. And I knew that my right leg was no longer going to be a part of my life. And really, I think that was a blessing in that I knew that immediately. Some people go through trauma, and they go to the hospital. They're unconscious. They go through surgeries and they come to and then they're told, hey, you had to have your right leg taken. And then they have to go through this emotional dive. Had about 12 seconds to deal with it and decide if I was going to fight for life or not. Wasn't much to think about. I just looked down. I didn't look down here. I looked back here. If you know me, me and blood don't hang out very well. And I won't go into any further details for the spread of our audience tonight, but I was in physically bad shape. I could not reach help by way of phone. And I tried and I tried and I tried. I gave up on 911 and I tried my wife and I was unsuccessful. I had no signal and it just appeared that this is the last day of my life. It was just very real. It wasn't something that, well, this could possibly be bad. This was, I'm in a place with no help. I eventually got through to get help. But I never got rared up. Thanks, man. Might need some of those. I thank God. I don't understand this other than I understand that I am at peace with God. I just was calm. And I ask you this question, not that I arrogantly make this challenge, but are you in that kind of relationship with God? If tomorrow morning something happened to you at 8:24 in the morning, could you just be at peace and keep your body calm, maybe look up to heaven, talk to God? Don't get me wrong. I feared greatly the departure of my family. And so I lean back. And I won't yell the way I yelled at that time, but I was trying to jump in front of all your prayer requests by volume. And I said to God, let me see my family. Now, let me tell you what I meant by that intent and that request. Then we'll progress and you'll see what God did in return. What I meant, because of what I knew of my condition and how serious it was, that statement simply meant bring Carol, Kobe, Sydney, Corbin, and Lily Kay to my side. I want to bid them farewell. That's all I wanted. That's all I asked for. Trust me, I wanted to see my other family, and I wanted to see you, and I wanted to see everyone. I wanted my life to continue, but it didn't seem like it was a reality. So that's what I asked. And within minutes of that request, I don't know how long it was, I was able to see my wife. And she got there a little too fast because I didn't want her to see me in my condition. You obviously see my condition now. You can imagine what it was then. It was pretty much the same in a much tougher scenario. I wanted her to get there when I was in the ambulance, but she was there when it was the worst you could ever see. And to tell you how calm I was, I had to calm her down. And I just grabbed her face and I said, Carol, my heart's beating and my brain's functioning. We're going to be okay. And I want you to think about that for a minute. What we have of value is a spiritual relationship with God. It takes your heart and your soul. Your heart and your soul. Sorry, I went backwards there. What we have as husbands and wives, it's to me, that's another spiritual. There's a physical aspect, I understand. I'm not trying to neglect that. But the relationship part of it is something we do through our mental capacities. With our brethren, we have a spiritual relationship. Yeah, we have physical interaction. But I began to realize, I have realized, I guess I should say, now, nothing of value has been taken from me. Nothing of value. I still have a relationship with God, and I know you're going to think this sounds stupid. There's been times already in the last 4 weeks that I'm riding down the road talking to someone on the phone or whatever, and I forget that my leg is gone. And it's an awesome feeling. And there's days that I have to deal with it and have pain or whatever and realize it's gone, you know. But I can have those things of value that have nothing to do with my physical get-around. My physical get-around is going to get better. Coach Kevin's going to help me figure it all out. But I got a long ways to go. But remember, that was my request. Just bring those five people to me. And you would want the same, wouldn't you, to bid your family farewell? It seemed like, and I did one other take over this way where the impact kind of happened, and when I saw the fluids that I had lost, it just didn't seem feasible to have anything beyond that day. Philippians 4 in verses 6 and 7, and I'm standing up a lot longer than I thought. I don't know what's going on up here. Philippians 4 in verses 6 through 7 says, be careful for nothing, or maybe your translation says be anxious, and I like that word better. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. I want you to listen to that part about making it known to God. And then I'm going to talk about how what I asked for and what God granted me, how far apart they are, and show you what He did with my request. I didn't ask the right thing. I didn't say, dear Lord, let me see the Concord Church family. Let me see my mother and father. I didn't ask that. I made my request made known to him. There's a person involved, a being involved, you know, a mediator named Jesus Christ. And I'm going to talk about that in a minute. Let your request be made known to God. Maybe we don't know what we need. Maybe you think, I don't know how to ask God what to do to get me through this. Talk to him about whatever you can get out of your mind and communicate to God. Let him take the rest. Here I am. I expected to die on August the 14th. I assumed a funeral on the 16th or 17th. All these things were going through my mind that my children were no longer going to have a father. I mean, that's where I was. And that's what I asked for. Let me see them. Verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And I didn't tell you, or finish tell you, what I meant when I said I grabbed Carol's face that day. She was irritated that the ambulance wasn't there yet. I grabbed her face and I said, Carol, just like this, and she can verify. I said, I guarantee you, they're putting the hammer down and they haven't stopped off at any convenience store. They will be here. And I honestly don't know what God did. And I know this sounds stupid and you may think it's very secular and sports-like, but I played quarterback in high school and I remember telling myself that day, this is the biggest game you've ever played, Scott. Calm down and let's find victory. And I don't know if those days of football training had anything to do with my ability to settle down, but I'm sure my heart was doing something different, but my mind and body, I was able to stay calm. And before Carol got there, I mean, I couldn't wait to see human people, but I just was calm. Well, I'm going to go and be with the Lord. I hate this physical departure from my family, but I would just look up. It was a nice, clear day. I would just think, man, I don't know how I'm going to get there, but he's going to transport me. So that was my request. Here was God's reply. This is my assumption. Some of this could be wrong, but some facts on the backside of this prove something like this happened. Jesus, the mediator, must have stepped in and handled my request a little differently than my simple intent. That's all I can imagine. I think I communicated my request to God. I think Jesus got a hold of it. I don't know. I'm going to ask him about this when I get there. And I hope he obviously said to God, or at least I'd like to think, Scott's a man after God's own heart. Let's hang on to him and let's show him his Christian family across the globe. And you may say, you don't have the right to make those statements, and I don't. And that could be completely wrong. But I will tell you this factual information. And you can talk to my doctors. They medically cannot comprehend why I am alive. Multiple doctors have come to my bedside, put their hand out and said, sir, you look awesome. I want to shake your hand. I don't know how you made it. And I let them get to their emotional climax, and I say, doctor, it's a real simple answer, God. And I don't know how many of those people I reached, but I was trying to let them know. They said, you received 47 units of blood in one day. If you don't know much about the body like I don't, we have 8 to 10 units of blood in our body. So you can tell that I gained and lost 5 times of my volume and then some. Hemoglobin is your red blood cell count. I'm not a doctor, but typically for males it's around 15 to 17. And the doctors told me when it gets to 7 and then it gets into 6, they begin to get very, very scared that they're not going to be able to bring that person up and out of their situation. My hemoglobin was at 4. My heart beat at a rate of 152 beats a minute for over 9 to 10 hours. I can't take any credit, and please don't say that I am. But the doctor said your physical condition did have a lot to do with your survival, because most people's hearts would erupt at that kind of capacity. And the one doctor said it's like you were running a 100-meter sprint for 9 to 10 hours. And he said most people's hearts just can't do that. God made my heart. Maybe I've done something to help it, but God made it. And so I think that Christ and the Lord, I know, there's no thinking about it, they delivered me. But they said, let's show that boy down there what we've really put together in the church family. Maybe he doesn't quite comprehend it. And we'll start right here in Concord, Lord, at first. And then we'll expand from there across the United States, Australia, China, London, Africa. And these are real places with real people who have reached out to me by way of word, by way of money, by way of encouragement, by way of prayer. And that's not all. There's been 11 or 12 countries. 11 or 12 countries across the United States, brethren that do not know me. You want to talk about something that's humbling and incomprehensible is when people who do not know you reach out in ways that they have reached out to me. I am not worthy. And all I know, the only way I can halfway comprehend it is this. Jesus Christ is in their lives and they're living out the life that Christ would have them live. They don't have to know me. We don't have to know other people. Opportunities come, I think, sometimes, and I would challenge us in the future, and I will. Maybe someone's mentioned of some similar situation as mine, and we'll pray for them. But man, couldn't we take 20 minutes like some of these other places have, hand out some paper, and families took and made little verses for me, made a binder and mailed it to me in the mail? They don't know me, Albuquerque, New Mexico. Why did they do that? My father was supposed to be preaching a meeting there. And obviously he wasn't able to do that because he was here with me. And those brethren took his paycheck and sent it to me. Why did they do that? Because they love the Lord. That's why they did that. I can't step back and say, oh, it's because they love Scott. He's such a great man. No. They love the Lord. And they want to do what God would have them do. How about you here locally? Do you know what happened here? Maybe I won't give dollar figures. You can talk to the elders about that. But do you know that your contributions have been personally directed to me, right into my pocket and into my bank account, to help me pay my bills and feed my family? You know that? That's what your giving is doing. Thank God for the elders making such a decision on my behalf. Again, I'm not worthy of what they've done. They've given me a year's worth of continuing my work, whether I could do this or not. And they might say after tonight, don't do it anymore, you know. I hope that's not the case. But that's your money. That's the money you earn, that you give to the Lord, that has been so godly directed by those men to help people like me. Good people, we have a huge and grand family through the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm not talking about in Concord. I'm not talking about in North Carolina. I'm not talking about in the United States. I'm talking about a family that goes around the globe. I have a small business, and I've always been impressed with these huge companies. How are they around the globe, you know? Christ is around the globe. Sometimes I think we think Christianity is falling off, or, you know, it's not what it should be. We just don't really get to tap into it like I have. It has been so humbling, and people will say, you would do the same. You would do the same. I say, listen, I might or I might not, but when you're the recipient of these types of things, it is so humbling. And it is hard to take those things. Man, it's hard. But I'm trying to tell you through me and through my experience, God has built an unbelievable family through the blood of Jesus Christ, and we are a part of it. And if it can be like this for me, momentarily in this physical life, what in the world is it going to be like in heaven when every one of them, I haven't gotten a hold of every one of them, but when every one of them are together around the throne of our Creator. Don't give up on God. Don't miss that part of it. Don't live your life for a little while and then hang it up and miss the very thing you should have been shooting for, and that's heaven as our home. Put that number one in your life so that you can be in the same position and you can be at peace. The question I have for myself as I've experienced these things and for you, are we doing our part? You are. Within moments, my wife was at Northeast Medical. I mean, minutes. It had just happened. People were just made aware of it, and bam, there's people at Northeast Medical. Into the helicopter I go. They tied a piece of rubber around my leg and about killed me at Northeast Medical, trying to stop the bleeding, and then somebody grabbed it and said, it's not tight enough. I wanted to say, yeah, it's plenty tight for me. And some guy sits up on top of me and twists that thing and wails on it, and in the helicopter I go. We get to Charlotte, and guess what? There's more of you there. I'm completely unaware. And I had no clue what you all went through. I was out. I thought they were going to just remove the leg and clean it up, but I had no idea that you all had to. Right, such an emotional roller coaster on my behalf. I thank God for you for doing that. And I learned slowly over time more of who was there. And I know I'll never know all of you. Now, who cares? Thank all of you for what you've done for me and my family. Hebrews 13, verses 1 through 3. Really, all I want is the first statement. Let brotherly love continue. That's exactly what you've done. If you want to know as a church, in my opinion, whether you care or not, you're doing that. And I know you've done that before this happened to me, but that has been executed flawlessly for me and my family. When I said, let me see my family, I don't know if this is up there or not. That is not what I intended God to give me. I just wanted Him to give them to me for 30 seconds or a minute before I passed. And this is weeks later, sitting with them at a ball game. I never expected to be somewhere like that with my wife. I'm just showing you what God did when Jesus grabs your request. I thought that was an impossibility in my life. I just wanted to see him before I passed. He delivered me from that and granted me times like this. And in that request, this was out of sight, out of mind for me. I had no intentions on August the 14th of seeing my mom and my dad, my brother Matt, and my brother John. They were too far away. And it just seemed too real that I was going to pass. Look what God gave me. All I did was made my request known to him. Let him handle it from there. Let God handle it from there. Matthew chapter 25 and verses 35 through 40, the Bible says, "For I was an hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, I didn't know how sick I was on the 14th and 15th and 16th. And ye visited me." Praise God for that. I was in prison. No, I wasn't. Hope never will be. But if I am, ye come unto me. Because my wife may not. "Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink?" I want you to think about this. I want you to think about what you did for Jesus. Go beyond me for a minute. Jesus is saying, when you do that to one of mine, you do that unto me. Go above the earth for a minute here. "When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee?" And the king shall answer and say unto them, "Verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." When Jesus is in the center of our lives and we reach out to one another, we're reaching out right back to Jesus Christ. And that's what you did by taking care of me. And as I close, I want you to think about this statement. This was something that Carol and I received from someone. It's a little block that sits on my new little kitchen counter. I have a table now that's been dropped down with a toaster oven and some things, so I can try not to be Carol's fifth child as much as possible. And we keep it sitting there on the window, and I like it. And I want you to think about this statement. Don't tell God how big your storm is. Tell your storm how big God is. Don't go crying to God as if something's, what are we going to do? You just chill out and let your storm know God's on my side. I'm going to read that to you again. Don't tell God how big your storm is. You really think he can't handle it? Did you listen to that passage that Joel has read for us? You got the tempest raging and then he settled it down. If he's got control of that, surely he can control our lives. Don't tell God how big your storm is. Tell your storm how big God is. And just sit back. If you're living your life for God, make sure and understand I'm not talking to anybody and everybody. I'm talking to faithful people of God. If you've got your life right with God and he's number one in your life, when you hit the storm, you relax. And you put your request and throw it up there to let God handle it. And Jesus, the mediator, will do some things that you never thought were possible. Let your supplications and prayers be made known to God. And watch what he can do. I don't know how everyone's life is in this audience. I haven't really been able to get to hang out with all of you as much in the last month as normal. And there are a lot of visitors here. I don't know where your life is with God. But if it's not at a peaceful, prime, number one spot in your life, don't get fearful and run off from here and leave and say, oh, I'm not. Do something about it now. It's the great thing about what we have with God. You can change it like that. It's a spiritual relationship. You don't have to go, as I've talked before, through some long training process, say, oh, how can I get back in with God? You just decide, I'm going to get right with God now. And I'm going to go home tonight, and I'm going to dig into his word. I'm going to pray to him. It's not a hard thing to do. And if there's anything that we can do to help you, we want to do that. That's why the church is here. It's not here just for us to come together. It's for us to go to heaven and get other people to go with us. And if there's anybody here that we can help in any way to respond to the gospel or to straighten out your life, we ask you to come now as together we stand and sing.
Sing the greatest commands. close. Gather around. Be sure you have holding on to the person next to you as we pray together in our closing prayer. Let's pray and then we'll release for the Lord's Supper after that. Okay? Let's pray together before we go and do that.
Let's pray. Lord, you hold us in your hand. You control all things. Father, we cannot wait to understand. We are so tossed and turned and we're weak. But Father, you enlighten us. And Lord Jesus, you are there for us. And just as Scott well put tonight, know what we need. Father, we are so grateful. For you answer our prayers in ways we can never imagine. The design that you've given us through your word, honestly, the most powerful thing on this earth. For with it, we wouldn't have nothing. But because of it, we understand who your Son is. And what the plan is, and how to get home to you. Father, you have designed, and what we know and what we define as a family. And Father, it is remarkable what you've blessed us with here at Concord. And you've given Scott and his family front seat on how big his family really is. And you've allowed him to prepare for tonight, to let us hear of that show that you put on at his expense. And Father, we benefit because now we know how powerful you are, how big your family truly is. And we know as we go throughout our days that you're going to remind us. And Father, help us to remember what's on that window seal. That no matter what storm comes our way, no matter what trial, that it produces endurance in our lives. And that we can turn and we can look to you and know how powerful and you're in control, no matter what it puts us through, that whether we make it through it or whether we don't, it's for your glory. And Father, we pray all of these things to your Son. Amen.
Have a chance to have communion this morning. Give me some juice. Hold on, Tommy. If you didn't have a chance to take communion this morning, it'll be served now in the big classroom at the back.